We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The zombie apocalypse is imminent. Could you survive? You'll have a better chance after completing Geek Nation Tours Zombie Apocalypse Training 101. Learn to fire weapons, scrounge for food, and actually run from zombies. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
All right, let's do this thing then.
All right,
I'm gonna kick it off. I'll Keith, don't worry about it. I can see you're anxious to be the lead dog in this. I can just see, but I'll take care of it.
Put me in, Coach.
Yeah, leave you on the bench. Heyo, welcome to We Talk Podcast number 145. I am Mo. I got two regular co-hosts, Keith and Chris Beck here. Guys, how are you doing?
Great. Doing ready to be an in-show audience for this one.
Well, that, yeah, yeah.
In-show audience. I'm laughing, and that's it. I am the, you could pre-record a laugh track, and that is my role on this podcast tonight. Yeah. That's how exciting this one is.
That's true. And you know what? And you know what? If you don't talk at all, we'll all be grateful. Anyway, so now we got Stephen Charles Rosea. And who's been on the show a couple times before, once with his Kickstarter Muskoka, and then he's been on with the summits you're on. And he's here to help us talk about the Panel One Kickstarter. And we got Nick Johnson. He's here to talk to us about – actually, why the hell are you here, Nick Johnson?
That is a good question. Oh, because I am a self-affirmed media whore. And once that got out, I was invited like the next day. So yes, that's why I'm here.
Excellent. Well, you guys are welcome to come on every week. In fact, if you guys just want to start doing the show for us, it'll take a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, sure. Do you guys like classical music? Because how open is this to subjects?
Yeah, anything. It's We Talk Anything.
We'll talk whatever. Okay, cool.
All right, Keith is Keith. What the hell are you doing? Explain to folks why it is that you apparently.
You asked Chris and I to both talk at the same time, which threw me off. and then I don't know if any of our listeners are familiar with the Metal Earth 3D metal model kits. I bought one of an X-wing fighter that has absorbed the goodly part of the past week as I try to put together this stupid model that is, I don't know what size hands you're supposed to have, but clearly mine are about three times the size for these little tiny parts. I lost one of the parts yesterday.
Well, you have big hands like Donald Trump is what you're saying.
I do. Yeah. I do. I don't actually know what that means, but I found one of these small parts was so small that it was stuck to the magnet on my glasses that holds my sunglasses on. I woke up this morning, I'm like, what's the loose part of my glasses? And it's this like little like quarter inch long piece of metal from the model that ended up on my face.
Consider it of you to stop doing it at least while we're podcasting.
Well, while I'm talking, I'm going to get right back into it. once the other guys are talking.
Can you imagine how small the pieces would be if you bought the do-it-yourself Jawa?
Yeah, the scaled Jawa.
talking like little organs wrapped around.
We're talking about Donald Trump again. Little organs. So, anyways,
so topical.
We are topical. President. That's all right. I mean, Keith loves his American politics. He says you don't like pro wrestling, but you like American politics. Like, there's a difference.
I'm so out of the cycle this time. It has been a lousy game. I'll be honest. I've shown very little interest in American presidential this time. It's a bit like having for you, Mo, it would be like bringing back the Iron Sheik for WrestleMania. It would just on the surface, it sounds like a good idea, but. Viewer-wise, just not that entertaining. Not,
I miss Jon Stewart too. All right, let's get on to what we're actually here to do, is because Nick and Steven are looking at us like, fuck, we're here to talk about us.
I zoned right out. What are we talking about?
Hey, so let's actually talk about something else, because this is not at all related to what we were going to talk about, but what the hell? Anybody have any thoughts on Gary Shandling? Anybody remember? Anybody have any thoughts on Gary Shandling?
I only know him from that one Avengers movie where he was a Hydra agent. That was about it. That's my experience with him.
I'll tell you, you go onto YouTube and watch Gary Shandling Lost in Las Vegas. Do yourself a favor and watch one of the greatest stand-up routines of all time. I'll give you that recommendation. It's tremendous.
No, because if I watch it, then I'll be sad afterwards.
That's a fair point.
I think you laugh too hard. The world is losing too much funny. Don't get me wrong. We're losing a lot of funny, it seems, lately. Mm-hmm. But you should watch this, because in the beginning is him and Joan Rivers. And this has got to be the greatest interaction between human beings ever. And you know, I'm not somebody who's prone to hyperbole.
Not to oversell it.
So,
wait, did you see Batman v Superman yet?
No. I mean, I saw the reviews.
The
reviews are it's amazing. I'm looking at the IMDb and it, like, the fan reviews and box office tomato through the roof, and then the actual, like, critic reviews are just in the toilet. So,
so people with taste don't like it.
Like Adam,
I'm just joking.
I love how people only ever pay attention to reviewers if they agree with their preconception of what they want.
We'll just see if it's successful. That's all. I just don't think it's going to be that successful. I don't know if it'll be any good. I'll decide that when I see it. But I think it's not trending.
Wait. Mo, you seen a movie?
Yeah, well, I said when I see it, I didn't say it'd be this year or next year. Sometime.
I kind of thought you said in the we're referring to the theater. I was shocked.
Oh, please, come on.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
First, I have to leave the house. I'm like Ryan Fair.
I'm sorry. I should have assumed you meant you were waiting for the VHS copy, but.
Yeah, if I could. I guess I almost got that tracking problem fixed. All right. Steven!
Yes?
What's going on with you? See how I did that?
Well, why have I been busy? Did we lose someone?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we stopped talking because you were...
We just didn't interrupt you.
Oh, wait, we might have lost... Did we lose Nick?
Maybe just for a moment. But he was like, I've been so busy, and then it just went dead silent.
Oh, well, that was good.
Am I back?
Yeah, I think
you are.
So.
You are. I don't think you ever went anywhere.
Oh.
We stopped talking over each other and we were all confused.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, in this past couple weeks here, we've been working pretty hard to put together, well, not only a great event for this summer, but a Kickstarter to go along with that. Well, you would know. You're a part of that.
A part, yeah. The Kickstarter basically my fault, is what you're saying.
But more or less.
Yeah, more or less. Panel One, if we mentioned on the show before, people in Calgary, people that make comics in Calgary, kind of got this community going, trying to help each other, support each other, and create things or whatever. And we're going to put on a show, June 4th, 2016. And in order to fund the show, we're putting together a Kickstarter. And Steven is it's your webpage, because you've run a Kickstarter before successfully. But we got, like, great rewards. We got rewards from known names, and we got people can host the podcasts and interview famous people and get, you know, all sorts of get drawn into a comic and get, like, all this great stuff going on for this festival. And this festival's designed just for people like you, Nick. Like, it's designed, no retailers, no outside guests. It's designed to showcase the local folk.
Yeah, that's a big part of why I'm super excited about it. Not just because I get to go and be a part of it, because I've been talking
What's that sound? Is that Steven? Are you
I don't know. It almost sounds like.
Did you start playing Super Mario?
Like someone else is calling.
Yeah, it's someone's Skype.
Is
someone trying to call into the show? Is that what's happening right now?
Oh my god.
It's a listener call-in.
Listeners, please hold your calls until the end of the interview.
Yeah,
we'll,
right.
we'll have time to for Q&A.
Make sure to turn down your radio as well.
That's right.
Sorry,
I'll text my mom and tell her to stop. what was I saying? Oh, yeah, yeah. Excited, because I mean, for years now, like anytime I'm on doing interview with people, I'm talking about how exciting the Calgary comic scene is, and how diverse it is, and how many different genres and types of people are making comics for everyone. And for you know, this is the event essentially that will prove that I haven't been talking out of my ass for the last decade. So it's a very exciting time for me. Yeah,
what's it like? You know, you're somebody who, like, Panel One was started quite a while ago. There was just a very small group. The first meeting was myself, Aaron Miller, Alexander Fimbo, and Jason Memel, and I think Steven, you were the fifth person brought in. Like right after that first meeting, you were, because we vetted you. We're like, yeah, shit, we'll take anybody, and.
I'm anybody.
You'll take literally the next person that shows up, and
we need somebody. Actually, what we said was we actually need somebody smart in this group, so we invited you in, Steven, at least to replace me. Nick, though, I mean, for you, I mean, you start hearing about something like this being put together by people, and you're invited in to take a part of it. Is like how what's it like as an I don't know as a local artist when you start seeing. This happened because this is a really unique movement that I don't think any other city has something quite like this.
Well, you know, I just went to Columbus at the end of last year and they had their very first annual Crossroads start off with Jeff Smith and Tom Spurgeon. And basically, because they have the comic book museum there, they kind of used that as a hub. Or as the city itself became a hub for this festival. It was only comics. They had a community center full of people selling their indie comics from all across America. And they had workshops and everything. And me and my buddy Sho went and saw it. We were like, oh my God, there needs to be something like this in Calgary. And then lo and behold, Panel One says that the Comic Creator Festival is happening. So the idea that I could see something so amazing happening in Columbus and then get back home and see that it's happening in Calgary was very exciting. So yeah, excitement.
Excitement.
That
what
is
about you, Steven? Do you feel like how proud do you feel about what Panel One's accomplishing?
It's big. Like Nick was saying, I don't think there's anybody quite doing what we're trying to accomplish. And I mean, beyond what we have already done, like fundraisers, we feel partly responsible anyways for putting up big iron curtains in front of a local comic shop.
Iron curtain comes with a certain implication.
Why don't you explain it a little? One of you, please explain it a little better. You may sound so ominous.
Let's just leave it like that because I got great. I'm just liking thinking about this. Iron curtains and gateways and guards in front of the comic book stores. I'm all into this, man.
We're reinstituting the gatekeepers.
Yes. People want to get in if they think they can't.
Well, that one specifically was a local comic book shop, Alpha Comics, very near and dear to many of our hearts in the community due to the fact that they are incredibly supportive of local creators. They had been broken in twice in a very short span of time. People smashed the windows, broke into the store, stole a number of books. But worse than that, they trashed a large section of the store. Just complete disregard for the art and the wares and the wonderful owner and his livelihood. Right. So it was something that all of us were quite deeply impacted by, obviously not as directly as Chris himself, but we felt like as a community we needed to do something to get together and try and help In this case, we came up with to raise money to be able to afford some sort of security for him. So in the course of a week, we organized a huge fundraiser that ended up going on just outside his shop. And we raised more than enough money for him to put up the curtains, the metal sort of guard that he put in front of his window, as well as, I suppose, replace some of his wares. And that was in a very short period of time. So I'm very proud of that, but I'm also very happy for what it means for Panel One. It means that Panel One can successfully sort of do these community activities that we were founded on doing.
It's to me, that was the time when I was like, oh, look at the potential of this, you know, look at the, because honestly, and I'm not just saying, actually I'm saying this about everybody but you two, the people who make comic books, like seriously, no, the people I meet and like I meet a lot of people, but the people who make comic books that we're lucky enough to meet, thanks to this podcast, like they just are the best people ever. And that's no bullshit. Like comic book people are just the best people. Like they just got the biggest hearts and the most pure passion for what they're doing. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, I think the very process of creating and making things is a cathartic one, and it's one that gives a person a great sense of satisfaction. So to be able to make these things and talk to people about them is just, you know, it's an endless source of joy. So this festival, which pretty much gives us a wonderful platform for us to talk with the audience, to meet new fans, to meet people, to talk about some of the stuff we put into our work. I mean, I don't know. I'm really stoked. I'm really stoked to get down there and talk about it.
How many conventions have you been at? Have you tabled at over the years yourself, Nick? That were like these larger conventions where there are retailers and there are media guests and outside personalities. And what's it like to try and get a little spotlight in there?
The first convention I went to, I think, was when I was in high school, about 16 or 17 years ago, and it was in the State Ballroom. And back then, I think it was the ACCA was putting on these little conventions. And I've been doing cons like every year ever since. And it's been really interesting to see them go from those really small scale collector cons to the enormous multimedia fan explosion things that they've become now. I remember when I started, I was a shy kid hoping to get people's attention just so I could talk to people on every show. And then it got to a point where I was more comfortable with my work. The shows were getting a little bigger. I was starting to meet people. Some of my best friends now I met through comics at these shows. And now it went so big that once again I am disappearing amongst all of these giant banners and such from the multimedia type stuff. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to give the impression that I don't like the bigger shows, like the Calgary Expo, for instance. I mean, I can tell right out that it's not a show about comics. It's not necessarily a show for comic fans, but I think that if you are making good work and there are people seeking out that kind of work, that is a really great place for y'all to connect and to, I don't know, to create a relationship of sorts. I mean, I have people that I see there every year who I'm excited to see, who are excited to see me, and it makes it all worth it, no matter how much I think like, oh, it's about the shows now, or it's about the, some people are really upset about cosplay and all that stuff, but I just think it's a really exciting, really fun event, and I always connect with amazing people. My God, longest answer ever. What was your question, Mo?
I think we got it. The point is, though, I mean, there's room for both, right? There's room for that, and it's great.
Oh, yeah.
And there's room for this, too, right, Stephen?
Oh, absolutely. The difference between what we're trying to accomplish and what they're doing there is that those shows have become, or I suppose we're always destined to become pop culture expos. They're not specifically comic book expos. What we're trying to accomplish with the Panel One Comic Creators Festival is truly a festival of the arts. It is a showcase of sequential art and the writers and artists of such.
Did you guys look at other comic festivals like TCAF or anything like that? Who do those? Are they like once every 2 years or so? Did you look at how they kind of run things as inspiration?
We did look into those sort of ones more of as a guideline. We've had some of the other members on the committee who are helping, such as Aaron Navrati, who has been to such conventions and brought back his experience and brought that to the table. We wanted to create something that was in the same vein, but all together itself. It's the same reason why we're building this sort of casual experience for our night portion, where people can enjoy food and libation and talk amongst each other, as opposed to that sort of disconnect of people on different sides of the table.
That's right, Chris. There'll be alcohol.
Oh, all right. Okay, I booked my ticket now. Kickstarter has been funded.
But you guys, Keith and Chris, this is a good time, though, for you guys to jump in, because you're fans. Like, you're the comic book fans. I mean, you guys go to these expos, and you guys go to the retailers. You go hunting. You guys go bin diving. That's a part of the fun for you. But you also spend time with the I think you guys try and partake in every part of it. You do partake with the artists. You do partake some with the media guests. But what do you guys think about when you start hearing festival and kind of see what panel one is doing from the fan perspective, kind of in you? What are you guys thinking?
Well, I think an opportunity like this is just about being able to connect with artists and talent that we don't normally see in Marvel and DC. The big two and all the big publishers, there's a very finite set of rules that they all have to operate by. But when we go to when we get an independent comic, I think the most excited thing is they're usually doing something different, something that the big publishers aren't necessarily interested in, personal stories, and just connecting with the people who've written these stories makes that experience, at least for me, so much stronger. And because Calgary is my hometown, it is that much more important for me to connect with these people and read their stories. Comic books is a medium that I love probably more than anything. Media-wise, and just getting together with these people is exciting for me. A lot of my mother thinks I'm crazy for going to to cons, but she doesn't. She just doesn't get the medium. And
you're going to come all the way. You're going to travel across an entire province to go see a few people at a convention like this. She doesn't get it.
Yep. Yeah, she'd do it for Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing. It's just
how about you, Keith? What do you think?
Well, certainly when this grew out of, I don't want to say a frustration with the big convention, but certainly an acknowledgement that you don't get 100,000 people to a comic show. It just doesn't happen. Like, you need those big media people to make a 100,000 person convention, but is the best place for a comic creator to be at a 100,000 person convention, or should it be at a 1,000 person convention where it's the right 1,000 people, the really engaged people that want it? And those kinds of conversations have been going on for a long time, kind of quietly in the comic community. People are saying that to us. And then Trickster was one of the things that came up pretty early on. Which was run as a, I went to that a couple of years ago when I went to San Diego Comic Con. Trickster was an off-site party that was only comics. San Diego is the monster it is. And this was a bar that had just comic creators hanging out. You could buy tons of creator-owned things. And it was really appealing to go to this kind of, safe comic space that was not overwhelmed with, the stuff that let's agree that we're all also into science fiction and we're also all into, whenever I hear people complain about San Diego being too big, I what I assume they mean is they couldn't get into the Game of Thrones panel. but I like the idea of a, you know, like the local record store kind of thing, of like something focused on just the comics, just the, and a more intimate setting where I can actually, you know, talk to people about the art.
So what do you guys bring in, Stephen? What kind of art and new art and stuff are you bringing in? You too, Nick, which are whoever, who wants to go first?
Oh, I can go first. I mean, I haven't really decided on what specific comic-wise I'm bringing, but it'll be new material. It'll be the type of stuff that I would be hesitant to bring to the Calgary Expo. I'm talking about mini comics, things that I'm making by hand, and hopefully I'm going to be slinging the same way.
I like the term comic slinger. Like Wild West, just walking down dusty streets, flinging mini comics at people.
I have
paper cuts in the eyes, all that kind of thing.
Boy, you guys misunderstood. It's not slinger, it's a dealer.
It's a dealer.
Trust me, it's dealer.
The worst? I don't know. Do I want to be a dealer? A pusher, maybe?
Pusher, yes. All I know is when my comic book store closed, I was hanging around the Shoppers Drug Mart. Just hoping that they might get an NRG or something. Just shaking with the withdrawal, man. It's pusher.
Hey, Nick, what do you bring into the show?
That is in June. I've been working. I'm trying to, like, put my schedule in front of my brain right now, like Iron Man style, but I don't have the technology. I'm putting together a couple collections of my older work. I have a lot of short stories and some long form stories that have been out of print for a long time. So I'm putting together one collected edition of my first miniseries, The Art of Dodging Shadows. And then I'm doing, an anthology of sorts of a bunch of, short stories that I've done over the last 10 years called Nick Johnson, All of Me. So that should be fun. It's a riff on Farrah Fawcett, All of Me, but it'll be a slightly less tantalizing, probably.
I don't know, man.
You think nice, you're selling yourself short there.
Yeah,
man.
You got a nice set of gams.
It'll be more tantalizing.
Yeah.
I think a picture of you in the in a red one-piece bikini.
Yeah, or just like covered in nothing but gold paint. That's the one I was looking at. That was pretty cool. But, yeah, you know, I'm worried about skin cancer, so I might just draw it. Taking a photograph. But yeah, those are the things I'm shooting for June. Yeah, I think I could realistically.
From other artists, local artists and things, who are you looking forward to see what they're working on, guys? Is there anybody who you're like, oh, I can't wait, you know, this, and or even at the Calgary Expo? Is there anybody who's working you kind of admire that you guys are like, man, I'm looking forward to see what they've come up with since the last time I saw their work?
There's a ton of amazing stuff coming up. People who haven't been to shows or haven't brought their stuff to the public eye yet, either because they're brand new or because they didn't realize that there was a space for them. Specifically in the Panel One Comic Creator Festival, I'm incredibly looking forward to meeting and seeing the comics of Chelsea Crutchley. She does a webcomic called Stray Sod, which is absolutely beautiful. It's a very gorgeous comic. Another individual who is very new, who I was incredibly surprised to hear is doing a internship down at Drawn and Quarterly, which is like the dream, is Laurie Marie Madden, who does a comic that I'm not sure I can even pronounce. It's called like...
I have no idea how to pronounce it, but let's just say it's about, what is it, mothers, monsters chasing children? And or monster or mothers chasing the monsters or yeah. Monsters chase, yeah, something like that. All you need, so it's cool.
It is nice.
Whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, I believe they're both first timers to the convention scene, and it's going to be really neat to see their stuff in print. I'm very excited about that.
I completely spaced on this, but I'm helping to put together an anthology of a bunch of local cartoonists, which should also be debuting in June. Okay. I imagined everybody listening to the podcast to be like, Christ, Nick, just say it. Say it. We're making this anthology. But yeah, it's a lot of local cartoonists who I've been really stoked to work with. Like, I think Jackson G is going to have some of his first sequential art in there.
Oh, great. That's awesome. I've been waiting for him to see him do some sequential stuff forever. He's got incredible talent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you won't be disappointed. This stuff is beautiful. A friend of mine I graduated with, Lyndon DeVolta, did the colors on it. He's got his own story. We got stuff by Nick Greasy and Jillian Fleck, who are ACAD fine artists, who are doing some comic book work in that. My buddy Sho has got some of his first comic work in there. Joanna Leung, who I graduated with as well. Like, there's an insane amount of people, like, who I've always wanted to work with, who I managed to wrangle into this anthology, which will be called Wishlist. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but... Oh, yeah, Jarrett Sitter, who's a local cartoonist. He's been making tons of stuff, like Fast Forward, Beetroot, for so many years. But yeah, I'm excited about that, even though I forgot about it. I'll bring it.
Now, Keith and Chris, you guys got any questions for these gentlemen?
Sure. How about you guys tell us some about some of the rewards? Because I can't believe who the organizers of the panel, some of them are here, got to volunteer the time. It's unbelievable, some of the prizes on the Kickstarter, or rewards.
It's amazing, and we've been incredibly fortunate that everybody wants to be a part of this. I mean, I think a lot of people see the potential of what this can do, and they want to put their name beside it. But they've been incredibly, incredibly gracious in what they've donated. I mean, we've got everything from, right now we're up to over 23 independent creator-owned comics that are a part of a bundle that you can either get one or all of, depending on how much you pledge, including the entire run of Dave and Dave 2 and Curb Stomp, graciously donated by Ryan Ferrier. So thank you very much, Ryan.
The great Ryan Ferrier. If you've not read this man's comics, you haven't read comics.
Well, you probably have read comics, but you just haven't read his.
No, I like the original statement. I'm just, stand by that, Chris. Stand by that.
I just love Curb Stomp so much.
Oh, they're amazing. And I mean, the value of those single issues alone are enough to justify the $20+ to get all of it. I mean, you're saving tens of dollars right there.
Tens of dollars.
You can't afford not to get it, is what you're saying.
What you're saying is it's $20 Canadian or about $15 American. You're going to get 23 PDFs of high quality work, Ryan Ferrier and some of the other local artists. So, I mean, if we're sitting here and we're talking about people we're excited to, they can, and people are wondering, well, okay, that's great, but I live in Baltimore. How does this affect me? You can still support this and get these people's work, and you're supporting the good cause of independent comics and people who love the medium.
Well, that's exactly it. I don't think there's actually a single reward level that you are not able to receive if you are outside of Calgary or even the country. Like, we're going to send you PDFs or comics or a postcard anywhere you are. But aside from that, there's some amazing non-tangible sort of rewards. We've got things like a pitch coaching session with a editor of Renegade Entertainment. That's Alex Finbo, and my God, is he an amazing teacher. The things you can learn from that guy. I mean, I would pay for that alone. That's a $55 reward.
Yeah, I kept on thinking, everybody's like, I'll pay for that. I'm like, no, guys, that's counterproductive. Like, yeah. But, you know, and that's the type of thing that we're hoping to have some workshops and things, and where he can help people anyways, and at this, and this is part of what the community is about. But yeah, I mean, the very idea, if you're sitting there and you're in Oregon or something like that, and you want to get your book published, and you don't think you need the skills on how to pitch that book properly for, you know, just about $50. I think that's about what that reward is. The idea that you can get a guy who is a publisher and literally gets, I think he said to me once, he gets about 300 scripts a year he reads of people trying to pitch to him. So he knows what he's doing. He's seen the work. He knows how people are approaching it. And that this guy can teach you the best way to get to a publisher and help kickstart your career for such a low price. That's remarkable.
Yeah, you know, I was tempted to jump on that one. Not that I have any aspirations for making a comic or getting a comic published, but Alex Finbaugh is also a fascinating man. He is so entertaining. I'd be tempted to just jump on that one. Just to screw the comic book crap. tell me about Hellblazer and Doug Bradley. Why the hell is an Englishman in Alberta in the middle of nowhere? This man is actually really one of the most interesting people I've met in a while.
I've had a chance to hang around with Alexander, and his rates to hang around with him are very affordable.
What else we got, Steven?
Oh, geez, what have we got? Along with the physical books, there's also multiple levels to be able to interview or chat up a few of the panel one members. We've got both written question and answer as well as actual interviews on We Talk Podcast, like the one we're doing right now.
Yeah. We Talk Comics. You're so cool.
Yeah. There's also...
We're paying Steven for his appearance, Nick.
Oh, okay. As long as I don't have to pay, I'm good.
Nick, you're doing this show just, you know, for exposure. Yeah. That was what we promised. We really promised like that
exposure. So,
rather in lieu of money, it was, you know, better for your career long term.
I think I'm actually doing some portfolio reviews for Kickstarter benefits for like artists if they want some feedback, some like full figure drawings and such as well.
Yes,
those are the things I'm contributing.
Yeah, you can get feedback on your art if you're looking to, or you can get feedback on scripts. You can get, like you say, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff for like budding creators as well as people who just love comic books and want to read. That's a unique thing about this. There really is, like, there's a little something for everybody. And there's also on there, you can get a table from, so if you're a creator in Canada and they only had two tables left for the Saskatchewan Comic and Entertainment Expo, two economy tables left. They offered us one of them. And you can actually go there and for $195, you'll get your table for the entire convention. And you'll get a chance to be on a panel, giving you the exposure, being on one of their panels for independent comic makers. So that's for somebody who is already a comic maker, but doesn't live in Alberta, but maybe lives in Winnipeg, Manitoba, or they live in Alberta and they want to travel, or anywhere in Canada. A show like that, they had 13,000 people there last year. You're going to make your money for that $200, and you're also going to make some great contacts. And the fact that they contacted us and said, we love what Panel One is and we want to help. That's the type of thing that just, you go, this is, that makes it worth it almost right there, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good show too. I was at that one last year, actually. Last 2 years. And they're fantastic. They're really great with their comic creators.
Have you been to that one, Nick?
No, I haven't.
No.
Well, Nick, for $195.
All right.
Get on this right now. Get in now before this podcast goes up, because that incentive is going to disappear.
And the other thing is that this is, you guys are both going to be taking part in this. There's going to be an artist jam at the show. And that's a really premium item because it's going to have everybody that's down there. He's going to be able, you know, however many artists are going to be there contributing to this one-time art piece. This is unique one-time art piece. It's the most expensive item there, but this is going to be sitting on somebody's wall. It'll be amazing. And yeah. I'm hoping somebody will back that reward. I know it's really, really pricey. If it doesn't get back, maybe we'll find some way to do a silent auction or something like that at the show, because it's going to be an incredible piece. But the best, I think people should back it so they can guarantee get it and not let some other schmo end up with it.
Well, guaranteed it'll be one of a kind.
What it'll be, we have no idea. But it'll be one of a kind of something.
Steven's maniacal laugh there. I feel like he has something in mind already.
Cam's going to be there, man. It's going to have a penis on
it. It's going to have a penis, yes. Cam will just throw it. There's also Chad Culpitz. Is that the gentleman's name? That's with the book, The Streaker. I think he's got way more penis than Cam would ever imagine doing.
It's a perfect one to hang over your mantle.
And when he says hang.
I got it.
Keith, you got any questions? Go ahead.
I think the thing that was kind of exciting too is the idea that there's going to be workshops and such there. So, I mean, it's not just an event about like selling your stuff. It's also one of kind of teaching what it is that you know about comics. It's about, in my mind anyway, inspiring and encouraging people to get involved themselves and to make comics that they want to make, to show them how to do it, and to really encourage more people to get on the scene by making work that they really want to make. And the idea that we can inspire some new people to do that, that would be really cool.
And we're not at the point where we can announce names yet, but I'm pretty sure somebody's going to be down there for that workshop who's very successful within the industry and has a lot to share, you know, who's going to be a real mentor. And I'm not talking about Alex Finbo, though. He's that too. I'm talking about somebody who's worked for a major publisher and whose work is highly regarded, you know? And so that's kind of cool. Pardon me?
John Byrne.
Yeah. El Grisone.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to add a disclaimer right now.
Can you throw a disclaimer on at the very end of this show that John Byrne
was? It is not John Byrne. I'll just say that right now.
John Byrne was invited and did not respond.
I would love to add John Byrne to Panel One. Could you imagine?
I think John Byrne just his whole internet presence is I compare it to Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now. He's gone up the river to his website forum and where he is treated like a god, and they hang on his every insane word.
Is that true, Chris? Is that where he is? Is that where you talk to him?
No, I have not talked to him. I continue to stalk his junior high presence because we went to the same junior high and high school, actually, in two different cities. But the only picture of John Byrne I have is in my head is 16-year-old John Byrne. I have never seen a picture otherwise. And I would like to keep it that way, actually.
Does he have a beard in that photo? In that picture?
Yeah, of course he has a beard.
Of course, yeah, no.
Oh, we just really went off the rails there.
That was completely my bad. I'm sorry.
Now, Nick, how much more successful do you think you would be if Panel One had existed 10 years ago?
Why are you laughing? Is this a trap? Am I going to step into a trap?
That's, you know what?
Halfway through, question. I decided it was the worst question I could ask.
You know what? That's a fascinating question. I think that's a fascinating question.
It is potentially. Okay. All right. It'd be an easier question to answer after the event had already transpired. I think. Oh my God. Yeah. My God, Mo. This is a tough question. I think success, I mean, from the start is a very flexible sort of word, very amorphous, khaki blob of a word. And, oh my God, fuck you.
Go around to this. So we're going to park this, Nick. And the next time I ask will be, Nick, how much different would your career have been 10 years and 3 months ago there had been a panel?
Yeah. Okay, I could definitely answer that. I mean, I think success in comics is like basically one of the most successful Calgarian comic book artists that I know is Damian Wilcox, who does Dork Boy. And I'm not saying that because Damian's ever worked for Marvel or ever worked for DC, but 10 years later, or fucking 15 years later, that guy is still making the comics he wants. He is one of the most prolific comic book artists I know. And he's always at the cons, always friendly, always having fun. And he's one of the biggest inspirations to me when I was starting out. So to me, if the people at this panel, 10 years ago, there was a panel one event and I was making comics then, and 10 years later, I was still making comics, that's success to me. Like, yeah.
Well, that's a cop out of an answer.
Totally. So, Stephen, a nice way of saying it.
So, Stephen, same question but better worded. how much further in your own goals, in your own art, would you be had you had panel one 10 years and 3 months ago?
Well,
I'll give you the same 3 months I gave Nick.
Let me preface this by saying that panel one can definitely provide resources and a network to help sort of help people along. I mean, what you do with it is what you do with it, and I mean, it's still not going to determine how other people accept the things that you are doing. But if I had these resources even 2 years ago, I'd probably have a heck of a lot more comics made. I mean, I only just started making comics because I met who? I met Kanan Grahl, who I learned lived in Calgary, who makes a wonderful comic called Max Over Axe. I saw what he was doing, and it kind of made the idea of making comics and making comics maybe for money a sort of realistic sort of ideal. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of that, if this was around and I had known about it or been a part of it however long ago, yeah, I would have been doing a lot more than I am now. And I think that's success in itself. That would be a success story.
Well, and a tough question for Stephen, because 10 years and 3 months ago, Stephen was 5.5 years old. So, really. Stephen has the best baby face in Calgary Comics.
And he still has better facial hair than I do.
Carefully cultivated.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys got for these guys?
Oh, geez. Come on, Leia.
Well, I'm still waiting to hear about some of the great interviews that are rewards on the podcast for supporting on the Kickstarter.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about those juicy reward levels, the interview opportunities with the super pros of comics, the likes of Robert Venditti and Dan Jurgens, Death of Superman, Dan Jurgens. Those are pretty exciting, to be completely honest.
Yeah,
you get come to interview on. Them?
Yeah, if you interview them. You can interview them on our podcast. You get yourself a chance to talk to an interview and ask all the questions you always ever wanted to know to Green Lantern and Exo-Manowar writer Robert Venditti or Dan Jurgens, and we're hoping to throw a couple other good names into that mix too before it was all said and done. And I think that's kind of a unique reward. And you know what? You're right. It is a little bit pricier because it is kind of a unique thing. But this is, again, these guys are, they're good people willing to give back. And that's a great thing, or, you know.
And quite an opportunity. True, you don't get to eat poutine with them. But
no, like still, we did with Rob last.
It is a solid damn reward. I can't believe that panel one's offering this.
Well, and you know what? Afterwards, it'll be recorded, so you can brag to all your friends and family too, and tell them exactly who you men got to talk to. And I mean, chances are you're gonna pick up some valuable life experience from that too. I mean,
trust me, family and friends on that one, really not. My mother's reaction was Dan who?
Mm-hmm.
He killed Superman. Super who?
And he's not.
It did not go over well.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you could conceivably eat poutine while you were asking the questions, right?
Oh, yes. Right. However, I found shipping poutine overseas or internationally does not have the best results.
You want to at least same day that.
Yeah.
Don't surface. Don't go surface with poutine.
All right. Well, yes, but that is kind of cool. That is kind of cool. So, I don't know. I think we've kind of covered this show pretty well. Is there anything else though on anybody's mind that is not related to panel one or the Kickstarter?
Now, will beer be served during the entire panel one convention, or
just after? I believe the convention it opens at noon. I think it's going to go in, is it right till 7 and then close down for an hour and then reopen at 8 with some food and drinks and a little bit more of a party atmosphere and then kind of go till late. Correct. That's the plan. Is it correct, Stephen?
Correct. We're rocking it till midnight.
There you go.
You know, that's the most exciting thing about any convention, no matter where it is always the after parties. I mean, I've gone to San Diego, I've gone to Seattle. And it's rarely ever to go to the actual expo. It's to go to all the shindigs after and really talk to people and have a good time. That's really the part I'm looking forward to the most.
And, again, though, this one isn't just to the creators. This is open to the public.
Come exactly.
down, hang out with that. Hang out, get a drink, you know?
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I will say I've gone to quite a few of the drink and draw events for panel one. Which are fun nights and great conversation, terrific people. I was in a heated discussion about the nature of Superman and how Superman is perceived and should be perceived. And out of the corner and in the next table over, people started discussing Jawas. And I'm like, how do I decide what to do now?
Choice.
Right how there. How do I get one of these people to pause the conversation so I can join so I can like let the other one run to
who you're having that argument with? I'm just curious.
Jason Memel who has challenged me on many occasions to a debate. So one day we may do that on the show.
Do that on the show because Jason is much smarter than you, and I look forward to that show. But don't take it personally, Keith. Jason is smarter than everybody.
He's a full beard too. Salt and pepper.
He does, yeah. That it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. The beard more than the intelligence.
Hey, we gotta give a shout out to Jason Memel. Not only is he supporting us with Fight Comics, but Sage Theater is putting on King Kirby. I got my tickets already, and that's the Fred Van Lente and Crystal Skillman. It's with Robert Klein playing Jack King Kirby. This is going to be an incredible, again, if you're locally in Calgary or area, you should definitely be going to the show. Tickets aren't very much. I think I paid $25 or something like that for my tickets. It's a great deal, and that's going to be an awesome show. And Jason's the director. So shout outs to Jason and that show because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. Great. I think the Tuesday show has a talk back section afterwards. Mm-hmm. Might be a few comic book artists and stuff to be there to kind of talk about the play afterwards with the actors and the director.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's not one I have my tickets for though.
Oh, you're screwed.
I would actually go twice to go to that. See it a second time. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we've had a great show and a great discussion. Please, people, consider go to the where can they find this Kickstarter? I mean, obviously you can go to panel1.ca and, you know, find the links for that. And you should be visiting that regularly to get kind of updates on panel one, creator profiles and different things, or the Facebook for panel one is great. But where's the Kickstarter located, Stephen? What should they do?
You know what? We've been fortunate enough that we've actually been recognized by Kickstarter and we've been thrown into their Projects We Love category. So the easiest way you can find our Kickstarter, if you're just browsing the site, is head over to Kickstarter, look down in the comic section, and we're under the new and noteworthy with a big purple heart. You'll find us right away. And if you can't find us there, the Panel One Facebook page has been blasting out reminders all day for the last week, and you can find that right up on the site. And probably anybody who is a member of Panel One to point you in the direction. So not too hard to find.
Again, you can, if you're supporting this show, you can be anywhere across the world. There's going to be a reward for you. But this isn't just about supporting local artists. This is about supporting people that love comics for the right reason. and make comics for the right reason and support your and you're supporting like-minded folk, you know. And this is a very pure, the idea behind this festival and panel one, why I'm so passionate is because I believe there's a purity to the concept that appeals to me.
It's not often you get linked to purity, is it, Mo?
Not really. Fuck you, Nick.
Oh, he gets linked to all sorts of choir boys. And,
Purity is the name of a stripper, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's chastity, Keith.
Yeah, or destiny.
All right, guys, we're OUT, but Nick, do your plugs, and Steven, one last chance to plug your own stuff.
You can visit my updated regularly, semi-regularly art blog at nicksoup.com. My online portfolio is nickj.ca. And then the webcomic Wolf Hands is on wolfhandscomic.ca with my buddy Justin Higgs. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. This is really fun.
And you can find myself and my works at www.withoutatitle.com. Panel 1 is always available for your viewing pleasure at www.panel1.ca. The Kickstarter is also available there. And I want to thank you guys for giving a shout-out to this event. And thank you so much for your support. We're already, depending on when this is launched, we're at a third funded already, which is astounding. And big things to come. Lots more stuff to announce, and it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm.